Let us commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord, that the word of the Lord will find us tonight. And when the word of the Lord finds us, it will make all things possible for us. Our Lord and our God, we are grateful. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together tonight. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your possibilities. Lord, we come expecting tonight, and we pray that you turn all our impossibility to possibilities in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you will fill our mouth with testimony, and testimony will not cease from our home in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We bless the name of the Lord tonight. We have sung the song, All Things Are Possible with God. And also, we have prayed for possibility. It is now to hear from the God of possibility himself. And I'm believing God tonight that God himself will work upon our life and will discover all every impossibilities and will turn them to possibilities in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, I read verse 16 to 26. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? We will notice this in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He always gave all the glory to God. He always gave all the honor to the Lord. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus feared them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let us turn our Bible to Mark chapter 9. In the book of Mark chapter 9, I read from verse 17 to 29. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with the teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to that disciple that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit seared him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes he hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But thou canst do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Whatsoever we are going through in our life, tonight, the Lord will have compassion upon us. And the Lord will help us in all ramification in Jesus' name. In verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. Whatsoever people may say, what Jesus said is the most important thing. And what Jesus do in your life is most important thing. The people around proclaim the child dead. But the Lord know that there is life in him. And the Lord lifted him up. And the Lord bring him alive. In verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciple asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. In Mark chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ himself confirmed his Father, our Father, as God of possibility. Mark chapter 14, and I'm reading verse 35 to 37. Mark 14, verse 35 to 37. And he went forth a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. And that is going to be our proclamation tonight. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. My health is possible unto thee. My breakthrough, my transformation, my renewal, my revival is possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. Our study today shows the limitation of men. We have a lot of limitations. It could be limitation in procreation, it could be limitation in our health, it could be limitation in finding breakthrough in life, it could be limitation in being stable and living a righteous life that is pleasing unto the Lord. But as we come to the God of possibility, he will turn all things round around for us and make all things possible. God is a specialist in possibility. And his possibilities are broad in scope. It has no boundary. And it is for all things. Whatsoever you are going through today, either spoken or unspoken, either pronounce it or not, God has counted them to be part of all things that he can do. So with God of possibility, possibility of God bring correction, salvation, healing and assurance. When we talk of possibility, number one thing that our mind go to is healing. But possibility of God go beyond that. Possibility of God can bring us into salvation. Possibility of God can bring us into correction. Possibility of God can bring us into healing. Possibility of God can bring us into assurance. For the young man that we have read about in Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 16 to 26, it was correction. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He keep on asking, and the Lord corrected him and guided him on how he can inherit eternal life. For the son mentioned in Mark chapter 9, it was total freedom from dumb and deaf spirits. The possibility of God has no barrier. He has no boundary. It covers all scope. It covers all things. It covers salvation. It covers repentance. It covers restoration. It was a total freedom from the spirit of dumb and deaf. And he has been in this situation from the childhood. And you see the description of how this spirit tormented him, how he wallowing, how the spirit tear him, how the spirit want to destroy him. And for his father, he was not left out from the possibility of God. It was complete emancipation from unbelief. To crown it, Jesus himself gave assurance of God's possibility. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. The Lord discussed the unpreparedness of the young man for eternity and told him what he could do better than what he has done. Thank God we are born again. We praise God for that. But when we are reading the book of Matthew chapter 19, there is something the Lord emphasized there that we need to pay our attention to. The Lord said, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect, then you will go beyond the rudiment of keeping 10 commandments. There are still a lot of things to be done after being born again. There are still a lot of things to be done more than coming to the church. There are still a lot of things to be done more than singing among the choristers. There are still a lot of things to be done more than preaching. If we want to be perfect, we still have to do some things. The Lord told the disciples why they were unable to heal the son with the dumb and deaf spirit and gave them the solution of fasting and prayer. If we are going to do extraordinary by the mercy of the Lord, we need to deny ourselves, abstain from food, and seek the face of the Lord. And it is God that will perform the miracle, but fasting and prayer will give us, pave the way for us to receive mercy from the Lord. There may be impossibility with men in the ministry. There may be impossibility with men in family. There may be impossibility in our health. Medical doctors said this is a written off an issue that no solution. They've said it all over and all over again. But God always proved them wrong. There could be impossibility in our finance. We are living from hand to mouth. There could be impossibility in the prospect, what we are expecting from the future. But all things are possible to our great God. And as we look at this God of possibility tonight, he will make all things possible for us. He will make all things possible in our family. He will make all things possible in the church, in Jesus' name. We want to look at the first part of our message, sincere and anxious inquirer after eternal life. We read the book of Matthew chapter 19, and we saw the young man there that ran after our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the book of Mark chapter 10 gives us more insight to what happened to this young man in Matthew chapter 19. Let us open our Bible to the book of Mark chapter 10. In the book of Mark chapter 10, I'm reading verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there come one running. We can see the action. He came running, he came kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What a wonderful question. What a good question. He wants to know how to make heaven. If we place ourselves in the condition of this young man, what kind of question are we asking our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we full of grumbling? Are we full of complaining? Or we are asking him questions that will land us in eternity with him? This is a wise question. And he ran. It was a serious issue. He was not joking about it at all. It's a sincere and anxious inquirer. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he asked the Lord, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? I pray that the Lord Almighty will revive our soul and he will lift up our spirit that will be conscious of spiritual things more than the mundane things of this world. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Is there anyone good but one that is God? Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, And the Lord itemized all what he ought to do, one after the other unto him. The Lord told him, you need to do this, you need to do that. And he told the Lord Jesus that I've been doing this from my youth up. I did not compromise anything. I was consistent in keeping the law. But the Lord said, one thing like you, that's one thing you see lack. And this young man cannot discern what he lacked. All his focus is on 10 commandments. All his focus is on, I did not commit fornication. I did not commit adultery. I did not do this. I did not do that. But he's not looking at what the Lord designed in him. In Luke chapter 18, verse 18 to 22. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master. This is another question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What a wonderful question. I pray that we'll be asking the Lord this type of question in our life. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? In one place, they call him a young man. In another place, they said a certain ruler. In another place, they said he ran after him and kneeling to him to ask him about eternal life. Let us go to Acts of Apostles. Acts of Apostles in chapter 16. We will see some question there. What kind of question are we asking the Lord? What question are we asking from the Lord? Is it a question that will build our spiritual life? Is it a question that will prepare us for eternity? Is it a question that will make us qualify to see God at the end of our journey in life? Acts of Apostles chapter 16, I'm reading verse 30 to 33. And brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thou house, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. What a wonderful question. What must I do to be saved? Children, if there's any question that will be profitable unto your soul, is the question about your salvation. Are you born again? Have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you are just playing along with us, following us to the church? Being knowing the Lord is more than going to church. It's more than rendering service to the Lord. It's more than that. Your personal relationship with God matters. That is the only thing that can sustain you in the evil days. Your personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I read verse 25 to 29. And here we see the professional that come to the Lord Jesus Christ to make inquiry about their life. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. We have two type of question. The young man was sincere. He was anxious. But look at this lawyer. This lawyer was not sincere. He only want to ask question to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. He want to ask question to rope the Lord Jesus Christ. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? The Lord used question to answer question. How readest thou what you have already? How committed are you to the Lord that you have with you? How committed are you to what you have already? How readest thou? And in verse 27, and the answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. This is amazing. You know, some people can quote Bible often. They can recite Bible. Before you mention John, they are telling you the chapter. They are telling you the verses. But salvation is more than all these things. This young lawyer is knowledgeable, is intelligent, but there are a lot of lacking in his life. And he answering, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. The Lord told him, you are very correct. This do, and thou shalt live. It's more than just reciting it, lawyer. It's more than just quoting it off a lawyer. You need to commit it to your heart. You need to live the life out. Let people see what you are saying in your life. In Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, let us turn our Bible to Luke chapter 3. And we are going to read there verse 12 through 14. Luke chapter 3. Then came also publican, tax collector, to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And in verse 13, and he said unto them, Assert no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do foulness to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. You know, some people will come to, they will ask questions, and about their profession. When they come to the church, they are so superb, but they compromise in their profession. They miss things together in their profession. What they learn in the church on Tuesday Bible study, on Sunday, on Friday revival hour, or during the special program, they find it difficult to practice it in their working place. These are the type of professionals that are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and making inquiry about eternal life. The young man was sincere and anxious to know if he was fully prepared for eternity. Brethren, we need to check up our preparation for eternity. We need to check up if our seed is still in our barn. We need to check up if we are still walking right. We need to check up if we are living pleasing to the Lord, or we are living pleasing to ourselves. He ran and humbled himself before Savior, needing to know if he was on the right track or the rail. You know, our attitude cannot bribe God, but what matters to God is obedience. The young man got solution. He was looking for solution. He ran for solution. He knelt down for solution. But when solution came, he could not utilize the solution. He could not use the solution for anything, but was not ready to trade his riches for the revival of his soul. When the Lord told him the solution, you have been good, you have been keeping commandments, I agree with you, no argument about that, but what about these riches? You are a miser. What about these riches? You don't share your resources with others. You don't give to the poor. You only concentrate on yourself. You are self-centered. The Lord designed that in the life of this young man. He could not see that. He was thinking, but that's something that was pricking him to push him to the Lord to make inquiry about his life. The prison keeper also asked an important question from Paul and Silas. Unlike the young ruler, he and his household were saved. It was not like this young man that went away with sorrow. But they said, what can we do to be saved? And Paul and Silas preached to them. And this man gathered his family together, and they gave their life to Christ. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Children, youth, the salvation of Christ is not only for your parents, it's for you also. Jesus has died for you. Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Jesus wants you to surrender your total life unto him. People of different profession, lawyers, publicans, and soldiers, also ask about eternal life. You also need to ask about eternal life concerning your profession. You are in charge of money. You should not be tempted to corrupt or to steal money at work, or to forge figures, or to take bribe. What you profess in the church must reflect in your workplace. That is the lesson we are learning from this professional tonight. Our today's prayer should be like the prayer of Elihu proposed to Job. He said, that which I see not, teach thou me. And if I've done iniquity, I will do no more. I pray that this will be our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. We are looking at the second part of our message, Savior sincere announcement of requirement of eternal life. That's one thing that really, really touching in conversation of our Lord Jesus Christ with this young man. When the Lord wants to give him what it takes to inherit eternal life. The Bible recorded it that, and Jesus loved him. Brethren, Jesus loves you. That is why he's checking on you. This message is a check on you. It's a check on our family. It's a check on our career. This is a check on our ministry. He loves us. That is why he's checking on us tonight. in Luke chapter 18, verse 20 to 22 and verse 27. In Luke chapter 18, 20 to 22, thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. These are the rudiments. We must do all this. Honor thy father and thy mother. Children, youth, honor thy father and thy mother. It's part of the commandment of God. And he said, all this have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus had those things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Brethren, what is that thing that you lack tonight? Your own may not be riches, but what is that thing that you lack? What is that thing that is missing in your life? Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Sell, give to poor, take your cross, and follow me. Four things. But it was so difficult for this young man to do this. In verse 27, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The young man was looking at his riches. The young man was usually looking at his ability and how difficult it is for him to comply with what the Lord has told him. He was not looking unto Jesus that can help him to do it. I pray that we will not look at our limitation tonight, but we will look unto God of possibility in Jesus' name. Let us read from Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, I'm reading verse 18 and 19. He said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, which like are yet. So what did he lack? The Lord told him, you are a miser, and you need to do something about it. In Matthew chapter 5, let us see what the Lord said about eternal life. In Matthew chapter 5, I read verse 1 to 3. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciple came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This young man is not poor in the spirit. In verse 18, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These are the requirements of seeing the Lord. These are the requirements of being with the Lord in the end. In 1 John chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 24 and 25. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Let that therefore abide in you, which have heard from the beginning. If that which we have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. The Lord has promised us eternal life. And we should not miss this promise. We should not abuse this promise or waste the promise of the Lord. All knowing Savior understand our frailty. He is sensitive to our body language and unspoken words. The Lord was sensitive to the body language and the unspoken words of the lawyer, of the publican, of the soldier. He was sensitive to the body language of the young man that came to him. He reads beyond the response of the young man concerning his question. The man was asking questions, but the Lord has seen beyond that. Savior is not a partial God. He agreed with the young man on his observance of God's commandment from his youth, but also loved him and told him what he lacked. Savior diagnosed the young man's confessiousness and unwillingness to give up the uncertain riches. The uncertain riches. If you are familiar with the news, you will discover what happened to the richest man in Asia just some few weeks ago. It is uncertain riches. Savior used this opportunity to give a balanced message on riches. He used the analogy of a camel going through a needle to emphasize the difficulty of eternal life with riches. Savior underscored purity of heart without dross as a condition of having eternal life. Savior, seek those with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. This man God will look at, a man with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And I pray that the Lord will look unto you tonight, and he will help you in Jesus' name. As we are preparing to pray, we want to look at sorrow of alternating riches for eternal life. Many people mortgage their future. Many people, they alternate their riches for eternal life. And that is what the exact thing that this young man did. He alternate his riches for eternal life. In Matthew chapter 19, let us open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 19, and we are reading from 20 to 22. Matthew 19, from 20 to 22. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from the youth up. What like are yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect. We should underscore that word. If thou will be perfect. If you want to be rich and you will be perfect, you need to do something. Go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Finding a last solution to a long-hanging problem, it is supposed to be a thing of joy. But for the young man, his defined solution ends in sorrow because he refuses to alternate his riches for eternal life. His response to the word of God is like the response of the Jews in Egypt. When Jeremiah delivered God's message of judgment to them, they said, Jeremiah, we have heard you, but what you said, we will not do. In Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 15 to 16, the young man is rich, but not poor in the spirit. He had a lot of treasure on earth, but zero in heaven. Many people come to Jesus and ask different questions, but only few take heed and seek caution. How many times are people asking questions from our Lord Jesus, right? But only few people take heed and seek caution. Savior said, you are born again. We thank God for that. You attend church services. We praise God for that. You preach the gospel. We thank God for that. But you still lack something. It will be best if you discover your lack from the Savior today. From the Savior today. I want to read to you in Revelation chapter 18. This is talking about a whole city. A whole city that put their confidence in wealth. A whole city that put their confidence in riches. A whole city that trusted riches. In Revelation chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. In verse 17 to 19. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. 1 hour. 1 hour. 60 minutes. Such great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ship and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. What are they doing? They were looking at wasted riches, wasted wealth, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? What city is like unto this great city? This young man, he put his trust in uncertain riches. What did you yourself, what do you put your trust on? The challenge of this young man that want to block him, hinder him, stop him to inherit eternal life is riches. What is that thing that is blocking you, standing on your way, that want to hinder you from eternal life? So many times when we come for revival, we are so happy. And it is a good thing for God to revive us. That is our prayer, that God will revive us again, that his people may rejoice. That is our prayer, constant prayer. But when we talk about revival, what is revival? This is what the unknown writer said. We hear much about revival these days, but the art of revival is the lordship of Christ. A mere emotion upheaval, a spot of religious excitement, is not revival. Many things that people call revival today is shaking. It's just shaking. But it's not spirituality. When Christians become convicted of rebellion against the rule of Christ in their life, that is revival. If you are a rebellion child, child of God, and you hear the word of God, and you are convicted by the word of God, that is revival. When you begin to confess your sin, you repent from your sin, you are sorry for your sin, you turn away from your sin, you don't cover your sin, that is revival. When you renounce self, when you take the cross, and you let Jesus have the first and the last word in everything you are doing, you allow Jesus to have the first in everything that you are doing, and the last, that is revival. That is revival. By whatever name you call it, that is revival. Revival is when we prepare for eternity. When we hear the word of God and we tremble. When we hear the word of God and we cry unto the Lord, that thing that I know not, show me, that is revival. When we hear the word of God and we are convicted in our heart and we cry for mercy, that is revival. Let us ask ourselves this question. Am I concerned about the sacrifices I may be called upon to make in serving Christ? Is our sacrifice, is it our focus in serving the Lord? Two young men were talking about this very thing. One of them said, I cannot tell you all that the Lord Jesus is to me, or what he has done for me. I do wish you will enlist in his army. I am thinking about it. That is the response of the second soldier. He said, I am thinking about it. Answered the other young man, but it means giving up several things. In fact, I am counting the cost. The first time he's thinking about it. The second time he's counting the cost. A Christian officer just passing had the last remark and laying his hand on the shoulder of the young soldier and said, young man, you talk of counting the cost of following Christ, but have you ever counted the cost of not following him? Brethren, we have listened to the word of God tonight. Are you like that young man that ran to the Lord, knelt down before the Lord, and he asked him a sincere question, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Are you like that lawyer that you came to the Lord to ask about eternal life, and when the Lord told you, you want to tempt him, you want to argue with him, you want to know who your neighbor is? Are you like that publican that come to the Lord and the Lord tell you what you need to inherit eternal life? Are you like that soldier? Are you like that prisoner keeper that asked them, what can I do to be saved? And they told him, and he trembled, and he gave his life to Christ. Brethren, revival, true revival, is when we begin to confess our sin, when we begin to give up malice, when we begin to give up fighting, when we begin to give up rebellion, when we begin to give up disobedience unto the Lord. That is true revival in us. And we have come for that true revival tonight. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to have a reflection on all what we have been talking in the past few minutes. I want you to look at your life. At what point did this world has found you out tonight? At what point did this world find you out tonight? At what point did the word of God has found you out tonight? Why can't you commit yourself into the hands of the Lord? Why can't you pray that thing that I know not, Lord, show me tonight. Deliver me from rebellion. Deliver me from disobedience. Deliver me from uncertain riches that want to jeopardize my eternal life. Jeopardize my eternal life. Brethren, you are busy 24/7, no time to pray, no time to read the Bible, no time to attend fellowship. When you are attending fellowship, you are looking at your wristwatch. You want to jump out, you jump in, you jump out. You jump in, you jump out. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Brethren, it is time to call upon the name of the Lord. We have come for true revival tonight. It is true revival that the Lord will touch your sin. The Lord will melt your sin away. That is the new revival. That the Lord will touch your life. The Lord will deliver you from gossip. That is the new revival. All these things that you lack, they will not allow you to inherit the kingdom of God. Pastor, please, you can take over.
Let's continue to call upon the name of the Lord, that the Lord will give us genuine revival. Genuine revival in the name of Jesus. Let's pray that all those things that we lack, God Almighty, we open our eyes to them. As we have been told this evening, pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, open my eyes, oh God, those areas where I'm lacking, open my eyes to them. In the name of Jesus, and Lord God, begin to revive me. That which I know not, teach thou me. And if I have committed iniquity, I will do them no more. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. That was the desire of that young man. He came to know what else he need to do in order to inherit eternal life. God, Jesus Christ, be merciful to him. He showed him what he needed to do. What a privilege to have a glorious entry into God's kingdom. What an opportunity to have a smooth ride into the kingdom of God. To be shown the reason why one will not enter there. To be shown the reason, the things that one need to do in order to enter there. That man got that information and then he went away sorrowful. That man got that precious jewel, the man went away sorrowful. Brethren, call upon the name of the Lord. You have heard the word of God tonight. Are you pricked in your heart about certain things? Is there something that the Lord ministered to you as the message was going on, an area of your life that you need to correct? Don't brush it under the carpet. Don't look away from that. Call upon the name of the Lord. Don't be like that young man. Pray and call upon God and pray through. Pray through until you are sure within your heart that the Lord has touched that part of your life. Until you are sure within your heart that the Lord has purged and cleansed your heart. Until you are sure within your heart that you have that assurance of salvation. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. That true revival that means confession of sins. That true revival that means repentance from every sin. That the Lord will give you that revival. In the mighty name of Jesus. A revival of noise making. A revival of shouting. But with malice. But with unrighteousness. With deception. That is not revival. True revival is shown. You know, it has fruit that it bears. And those fruit, you see it, the fruit of repentance. You see the fruit of confessing one's sins. The fruit of restitution will be there. I will be able to apologize to my brother. I will be able to apologize to my sister where I have offended my brother, where I have offended my sister. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. That is true revival. Oh God, help me to experience that revival, that true revival. In the mighty name of Jesus. A revival that can go and fast and pray while offending a brother, while offending a sister. A revival that can go and fast and pray, that can be on the mountain shouting and speaking in tongues while still committing sin. Why still keeping malice? That is noise-making revival. That is not true revival. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh God, I need that true revival in the heart. That true revival is within. It happens inside. It takes place in the inside. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh God, revival. Revival in my spiritual heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh God, that which I see not, that which I know not, teach thou me. And oh God, if I have committed iniquity, I will do them no more. Approach the throne of God this way and say, God, examine my heart. Oh God, examine my life. Oh God, examine me. Oh God, search me. Oh God, search me. Oh God, search my words. Oh God, search my action. Oh God, search my conversation. Search my relationship with people. Search my tongue. Search my speech. Search every aspect of my life. Everywhere that sin is found. Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, and purge me. Have mercy. Oh God, and cleanse me. Have mercy, oh God, and wash me by the blood of Jesus. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord will give us that revival in the name of Jesus. The Lord will give us that revival in the name of Jesus. Pray that the Lord will revive your heart. Pray that the Lord will revive you. The Lord will revive your spiritual life in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. We are going to pray. We're told about this young man. What a wonderful and a great privilege to know what one needs to do, just one single thing that one needs to do in order to inherit eternal life. That man got that thing without reading Genesis to Revelation. That man got that thing without, you know, without seeing the vision of heaven and hell. That man got that thing, but unfortunately, He missed out. He lost That opportunity, he was not willing, you know, to go the direction God wants him to go. Brethren, examine yourself, look at yourself. Anytime you come to a service like this, either on the platform like this or in our churches, and as the message was going on, as the message is going on, the Lord pricks your hearts. You have a touch in a particular area of your life, and you feel like it is me this message is talking about. The Lord is simply showing you a path, an express road to eternal life. But when you hear those words, how many of those times have you broken down and cried to the Lord in prayer? Have you not, most of those times, look at the person by your side? Look at, maybe pastor will think that you are a sinner. Or look at, maybe people will say, why am I praying like this? And you miss that opportunity. Brethren, salvation is a spiritual thing. It's not every 24 hours in a day that you can receive salvation. There's a time God sometimes speaks to you directly. And he wants you to take a step. If you miss that time, if you miss that opportunity, it may take a long, long time and divine mercy to find salvation. Brethren, you want to present yourself before God this evening. And you want to tell the Lord, I'm sure the Holy Spirit has spoken to you through the message of today. The Lord has shown you an express way to eternal life. What are the areas the Lord has pricked your hearts? What are the areas the Lord has ministered to you that you need to change something? Brethren, break down and begin to call upon the name of the Lord. If you need to shout for mercy, call upon the name of the Lord. If you need to repent of something, call upon the name of the Lord. If you need to cry and say, God, show me mercy, call upon the name of the Lord. Talk to God about those specific areas. Talk to God about those specific areas. What about the malice? What about the anger? What about the hatred? What about the technical malice? What about the unrighteousness? What about the deception? You are a child of God, you say so, but do you still participate in deception? Do you still deceive people? Do you find it easy to tell lies? Do you say things that are not correct? And you are not willing to change and to correct those things. The things you told your husband, the things you told your wife, that you know those things are not correct. And you are not willing to change those things. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord has told you today. The Lord has spoken to us today. Call upon God, all those areas the Lord has taught in your life. For mercy, that the Lord will show your mercy, that the blood of Jesus will cleanse you, that the Lord will have mercy, that the Lord will purge you, that the Lord will take away every unrighteousness, that the Lord will take away every impurity, all those things that will bar us, that will bar us away from eternal lives, all those things that will close the gate of heaven against us, all those things that will make the door of heaven to be locked against us, that the Lord has shown us tonight. Pray and talk to God about those things. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord, that the Lord God will purge you, that the Lord God will have mercy, that the Lord God will forgive, that the Lord God will forgive, that the Lord God will forgive, that the Lord God will forgive. Pray until you know that the Lord has done it in your heart. Pray until you know that you have received that forgiveness. Pray until you know that you have received that justification. Pray until you know that the Lord has given you assurance in your heart that he has forgiven you. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. And if you need to make any restitution, don't delay to tomorrow, don't delay to next week. Immediately after the service, begin to do that restitution. Call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord has shown us tonight an express road to eternal life, an express way to the gate of heaven. The Lord has shown us the secret to have the gate of heaven open to us. Pray and call upon God. Pray and call upon God. Those personal things God has ministered to you, tell God, oh God, I pray for your mercy today. Have mercy, oh God. All this my shortcomings, all this my weakness, all this, oh God, falling to temptation, all this rising today, falling tomorrow, all this unrighteous lifestyle, have mercy, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Tell the Lord, make sure you receive that assurance of a purging of your heart, assurance of a sanctification of your heart, assurance of a cleansing of your heart, assurance of forgiveness of those sins, assurance of justification. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. It is possible. The Lord can cleanse us. It is possible. All things are possible. The Lord can make us holy. The Lord can make us pure. The Lord can make us clean. The Lord can make us righteous. The Lord can make us holy. The Lord can make you holy. You can live a holy life. We can live a righteous life. We can live a pure life. Pray and talk to the Lord. Pray and talk to the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Brethren, on that point, we are still praying. We're still calling upon the name of the Lord. There was this man, you must have read about him in the Bible. His name is Felix. Felix, being a person in authority, had opportunity to meet Paul. And he requested Paul to discuss with him about eternal life, about salvation, about Jesus Christ. Paul spoke to him to the extent that Felix was, shivering. The discussion, the preaching of Paul made him to shiver. He shivered under the wrath of God. And instead of him to turn to God, to turn to Christ, he said, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. And he told Paul to go away, that another time he will listen to him. That man, the Bible tells us, he had about two additional years that he kept Paul in bound, had opportunity to converse with him. He never got converted. We are going to call upon the name of the Lord. Brethren, the question once again is this. The Lord has told us today about the express road to eternal life. What are those things that you are lacking, like this young man? What are those things that we are lacking? And the Lord has told us today, brethren, let's go to the Lord and say, God, all these things that I'm lacking, maybe God has told you specifically about them today. Pray, oh God, the Lord will give you those things you are lacking. The righteousness that you are lacking, the holiness that you are lacking, the purity that you are lacking, the righteousness that you are lacking, the Lord will give unto us in the name of Jesus. We can call upon the name of the Lord. We have been told today, that man was told, sell all that you have. That is what he needs to do. What are those things you need to sell out? What are those things you need to throw away? What are those things God is telling you? Throw away these things. Stop this thing. Stop going out with this man. Stop going out with this woman. Stop. And the Lord has been telling you that thing. That partner has been leading you to sin. That partner has made you not to serve God. I'm not talking about your husband or your wife now. Who is that sinful partner? Who is that sinful friend that has been keeping you away from the Lord, that is locking the gate of heaven against you? And God is telling you, sell all that you have. Sell that thing out. Throw that thing out. Pray and call upon God tonight. Break down, under his mercy and say, Lord, I'm selling all these things. I'm giving it up to you. I'm dropping this for you. Lord, I'm giving it up for you. It is possible I can live this holy life. I thought I cannot live holy life before, but today I have been told that it is possible. Oh God, I am dropping it. I know you are going to help me. I know I can do away with this man. I know I can do away with this woman. I know I can do away with this friend. I know I can do away with this girl. I know I can do away with this boy. I can do away with this boy, with this girl, with this sinful partner, and I can serve you. Oh God, I'm dropping it. I'm selling this thing that I have. Pray and make the commitment to the Lord. If the Bible tells us, Jesus told him, sell all that you have. Take up your cross. Maybe that is what you are not able to do. Take up your cross. You are running around because of challenges of life. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. Your cross, you are facing temptation. Your cross of facing persecution. You don't want to be identified with believers. You don't want people to say you are deeper life. And because of that, you are obeying God partly. You are disobeying partly. God is telling you today, take up your cross. Take up your cross. If you need to face shame for Christ, take up your cross. If you need to face persecution for Christ, pick up your cross. You are wondering, what will my brother say who sent me to Europe? What will my mommy say? What will my parents say? What would my friends say? What will all these my people say if I say I want to become a child of God and I'm a deep ally? You are thinking about those things. God is telling you today, take up your cross. Take that cross. Carry that cross. Carry that shame. Carry whatever opportunity you need to face. Take up your cross and we're told today, follow me. Christ is telling you, follow me. Lord, I will follow you. 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 Whatever your word says, I'm going to do it. Whatever your word says, I'm going to do it. Whatever direction you give to me, I'm going to do it. Make that commitment to the Lord. That is what we need to do to inherit eternal life. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Sell all that you have. Sell that thing that is so much precious to you, that sin you don't want to leave. Sell it. Drop it. Take up the shame. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. Amen. Before we go, we're going to pray. We're told that man was not able to alternate his riches for eternal life. He was not able to exchange his riches. He was not able to drop his riches for the sake of entering eternal life, for the sake of having eternal life. We're going to pray for grace, brethren. We're going to pray for grace that on our Christian journey, as we have made commitment to the Lord today, and we have promised we're going to serve him, we're going to walk with him, we're going to tell him and talk to the Lord, that the Lord will give us grace. The Lord will give us grace on this journey, whatever we need to drop along the way, whatever decision we need to make in order to be able to enter eternal life and enter heaven with God. Let's pray and say, God, the Lord will give us the grace. He will give us the grace. Lord, we need your grace. Lord, we're asking for your grace. It is possible. We can get to heaven. We can serve you. We can live for you. We can walk with you. We can enter into eternal life. Oh God, we are praying for your grace. Abundant grace given unto us in the name of Jesus to be able to drop anything, to be able to drop any desire, to be able to drop any friendship, to be able to drop whatever we need to drop in order to enter into eternal life on this journey. Lord, give us that grace in the name of Jesus. Give us that grace in the name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Finally, we are going to pray. We're told in the beginning of the message that all things are possible. We're told that, you know, sicknesses can be healed. Challenges of life can turn around. Problems of life, the Lord can turn them around. The Lord can change our story. We're going to call upon the name of the Lord. Now our relationship with God is okay, is perfect. We're going to tell the Lord that situation in your life, that situation in my life, that situation in our home, in our family, that situation in the life of our children that looks impossible, begin to declare possibility. Lord, I turn the tide. Lord, I turn the situation around. In the name of Jesus, this sickness, I turn you around. I receive health from the Lord. In the name of Jesus, this long-hanging problem, I declare, I decree solution to you. In the name of Jesus, challenges in the family, I declare possibilities. In the name of Jesus, oh God, I declare an open door. Everywhere doors have been closed against us, everywhere doors have been closed against us, I declare an open door in the mighty name of Jesus. All the bars of iron that are closed against us, I declare them to break open in the name of Jesus. All the challenges that are oppressing our soul, pressing us down, Lord, I deflect them in the name of Jesus. Begin to declare possibility in your career, possibility in your physical life, possibility in your marital life, possibility in your material life, possibility in your spiritual life, possibility in your health, possibility in every areas of your life. Begin to declare in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, we declare where doors have been closed against us, we declare an open door in the name of Jesus. Where, oh God, road have been closed against us, we declare an expressway in the name of Jesus. Oh God, where our situation is like we are in the desert, but we declare that water shall flow in the desert in the name of Jesus. Oh God, where our situation is like a rocky place, we break open every rocky challenges, every rocky problems of life in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says, if thou shalt have faith like a grain of mustard seed, thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and thou shalt have what thou seest. Lord, every mountain, every problem of God standing like a mountain in our life, in our home, in our family, unmovable mountain, unsurmountable mountain, we declare in the name of Jesus, by the authority in the name of Jesus, we move away. Every mountain, we cast it into the sea in the name of Jesus. Mountain of childbearing, mountain, oh God, of problems of life, mountain of sicknesses, mountain of diseases, mountain of joblessness, oh God, mountain of depression, mountain of mental ailments, oh God, mountain of internal diseases, mountain of external diseases, mountain of terminal ailments. Lord, we declare, we decree, we move you out of our way, we cast you into the sea in the name of Jesus. We declare divine health upon our children, upon our youth, upon our adults, upon our women, upon our men, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you for the opportunity you have given to us to listen to your word today. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for not keeping us in the dark. We thank you for speaking to us, for letting us know that you love us and you want to show us the express road to eternal life. Oh God, we thank you for making us to know that it is possible. And all what we need to do is to pay attention to what you want us to do, and not just to know them, but to do them. Lord, we appreciate you for this. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, every sin that have been confessed, they are forgiven in Jesus' name. Lord, every weaknesses receive strength henceforth in the name of Jesus. Oh God, every feebleness receive revival in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive grace to run the Christian race and to get to your kingdom in the name of Jesus. We declare possibilities in every aspect and areas of our life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you have answered our prayers. Lord, we pray for our pastor you have used for us tonight. More of your grace, more of your strength, more of your power, more of your anointing, more of your wisdom. Release upon him in Jesus' name. Lord, for all the ministers you have used, bless them, Lord. For all that attend, give us testimonies. Thank you because you have answered our prayers. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Please, if you are there, can you unmute your mic and say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's quickly look at some announcements before we go. Just a minute.